Good morning, everyone. We have a gift today. We have Brenda. It's so delightful to hear her playing. It's really great. And Charles came along, too, so he'll be helping us with singing. Well, I have a few announcements today. Today is the last day to order your poinsettias for next week, and there's order forms on the back table. Our Christmas Eve service will be on the 24th at 6:30. Bring friends, bring families, bring enemies, bring people. The altar flowers today are from Keith and Lori. And there are Christmas cards on the back table if you need any more, help yourself. And I have one request, and maybe most of you have done it, but we need to send Anna Christmas cards. So, are there any other just regular announcements? Rick?
At Christmas time, we typically give a small gift to our employees and those that help out there. And so we have
it's very nice. They received this gift a little early, and so they can get themselves a little gift ahead of time. So are there any joys or concerns? Did I see a hand? Oh, okay, Rich.
Yeah, Joey and I were at Blue Goose earlier this week, and we heard that Layla's granddaughter was bitten by a rabid cat. And also the cat evidently had some sort of infection, so it was compounded by that. And we heard that he was being treated for Layla's.
Oh, I didn't know that. You don't know which granddaughter?
No, I don't know.
Oh, she's got a lot of them. Barb?
I got a text from Marilyn Seaver yesterday, and a couple of few people from their church went to Caroline where Anna Grubbs is.
Yes?
And she talked to Anna Grubbs about all of us here, so she said it was really nice.
Oh.
And she said Anna just loves it.
I can imagine what she had to live in. Yeah. Did I see another hand? Rick?
Yes, it's
Sherry's
birthday today.
Oh, is it? I think she might be. Well, about half my age. Tom?
We have a joy. Our youngest son asked his girlfriend to marry him, and she accepted.
Wow. Oh, she said yes. Debbie thought she would say yes, so that was.
Barb?
Who?
John May. He's going through another round of chemotherapy, so apparently his mom will be
answered. Oh, for John. Prayers for John. Sherry?
My mother moved yesterday.
Oh, Bootsy moved?
Yeah, she's not living with my brother's friend. So I believe he was living with his sister.
Well, I think that's going to be very good for both of them. Rich?
I did receive a note from Helen Heiser. You may recall that she was suffering from depression earlier this year with the loss of family and all that stuff. And she specifically said she's doing much better and that we should take her off of her. So I'm very happy about that.
Well, we had a call from Helen and Roger the other night, only we weren't home, but Harris didn't think she sounded too well. I thought she sounded really good. But she said she would call back. So we've got a lot of good news and a lot of people we need to pray for. So let's remember to do that. And would you ring the bell, Mr. Heiser? please. Will you stand for the call to worship? The Lord your God is in your midst, rejoicing over you with gladness, renewing you in love. I will bring you home and restore your fortunes, says the Lord. With joy, you will draw waters from the wells of salvation.
We will rejoice in the Lord always.
We light a third candle to reveal the pathway to faithfulness. As covenant people, we will seek to live in the joy of the Lord. Let's continue with the prayer. Holy God, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of the Holy Child of Bethlehem, we gather to give you thanks for the gift of your Son, Jesus, whose coming into the world has drawn us nearer to you. Bless this service, we pray, that we may go out from it determined to do our part in building your kingdom. Amen. And we'll sing "What Child Is This?" on 219.
Thank you.
half-decent job on that one. Thank you.
Good morning. It's good to be here. It's good to see you. I'm wondering if you're starting to get into the spirit of Christmas. I've been doing something this week from probably my wife would say spending too much time doing it. But I purchased fairly inexpensive a turntable that allows you to convert records to music that you can play on your computer or on your iPhone. And we had these old records, and some of them actually are in good shape. So I've been converting some of those and putting them on my iPhone and then listening to them. And amazingly, some of these artists and songs are still being played on the radio today, even though they're so old. And I found that interesting. But it reminded me of some of my experiences years ago. And I thought you would like to know this. At least I want to tell you this. When I was in grade school, we would put on Christmas plays. How many of you have ever been in school now in a Christmas play? They can't do that anymore, you know, at least not the way we did it back then. And I had one of the starring roles. Would you believe that? Me? Starring role? I was center stage, sitting in a chair, and these were my... I don't even remember what the words actually were, but I was holding my stomach and grimacing, and I was in pain because I'd eaten too much candy. I don't really think it was a starring role, but for me it was. Christmas is the time for remembering, and it's a time for celebrating God's presence with us. I'd like to invite you to a few moments of silent prayer. I will lead us in a short pastoral prayer, and then we'll share the Lord's Prayer together and sing then at the conclusion of our prayer time. His name is Wonderful. It's in the hymnal, number 174. Let's be in an attitude of prayer together. Heavenly Father, this is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and glad in it. It's good to be here in this place this morning. It's good to be among your people. It's good to offer you our praise, our thanks, and to seek your counsel and guidance for our lives. We are grateful for your goodness to us. We're thankful for blessings. We're thankful for your presence. We're thankful for this season that reminds us anew of Jesus coming into our world and into our hearts and lives. We give you praise and we thank you. We're grateful that you're a God who cares about people. You care about those who were named moments ago in our service, those we have named in our hearts, those who are on our prayer list. We lift our prayers and we pray for the work of your Spirit in people's lives, healing, encouragement, comfort, counsel. We pray that you and people you've chosen would work to make a difference in people's lives. We pray that we too might be a part of the answer to our prayers. We pray for people who are going through adversity this time of year. And Lord, though many of those people live far from us, some live close, help us not only to pray, but to do what we can to make a difference for them. We offer prayers for our world. We continue to pray for peace. We pray that you might lift up people of peace to work for peace, peacemakers, and use them to promote understanding and healthy relationship between people and nations. We offer prayers for our nation and for our leaders. We pray that you might use us as a nation and our leaders for your purpose, and also to bring peace and understanding to our world. We pray for your church. We pray for the churches in our community. We pray for this church. We ask your blessing upon us all, and that you would continue to use us to share your love, to declare your word, invite people into relationship with you, and share your love. We pray for this time together this morning. We pray we might seek and find your presence among us, that as we are together, that you would speak to each of us that word of grace and mercy and direction that we need for our lives. We ask for forgiveness for our failures and our sins, and ask for the help of your Spirit that our lives might be pleasing in your sight and in harmony with your word and your will. Hear us now as we offer the prayer your Son taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
First scripture reading today is Isaiah 12, 2-6, found on page 609 and 610 of your pew Bibles. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the nations, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Second reading is Zephaniah 3:14-20, found on page 830. Sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall fear evil no more. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, Do not fear, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing, as on a day of festival. I will remove disaster from you, so that you will not bear reproach for it. Behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame and gather the outcast, and I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you home, at the time when I gather you together. Yea, I will make you renowned and praised among all the people of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Just a moment. We will offer our prayer for the sick. The prayer that I will offer is found in your hymnal, page 457, if you want to follow along. When I pause, that will be your opportunity to name those that you would have us pray for this morning, those who are sick or in some kind of stress. Let's be an attitude of prayer. God of compassion, source of life and health, strengthen and relieve your servants. And give your power of healing to those who minister to their needs, that those for whom our prayers are offered may find help in weakness and have confidence in your loving care. Through him who healed the sick and is the physician of our souls, even Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, our ushers will wait upon us and we will receive our offering. Heavenly Father, it's our prayer that you would accept the gifts that we offer to you this morning. Bless these gifts and us to your service, to your honor, and to your glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Scripture lesson this morning is not what's printed in the bulletin. I gave Joanne the wrong reference. The reference scripture reading this morning is Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 36. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Hear this reading from God's Word. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And Gabriel came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and considered in her mind what sort of greeting that might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How shall this be, since I have no husband?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your kinswoman Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Heavenly Father, we pray that you might speak to us anew through your word, through your messenger. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Came across a story that I'd like to think was true. I don't know if it was or not, but I'd like to think it was. It's a story about a young United Methodist pastor who was honored during the session of annual conference. And it was the practice of this annual conference to bring in a guest speaker who would preach in the morning worship service, and then the bishop would preach in the evening service. Well, word came to the bishop that the guest preacher for the morning session had become ill, wasn't available. And so the bishop thought, and he decided that he would ask the promising young pastor to fill in for the guest preacher who was sick. But the young minister was reluctant. He said, "I don't have anything prepared. I'm not good at preaching on a moment's notice like this." But the bishop insisted and told the young pastor, "It's not difficult at all. All you need to do is trust the Holy Spirit will speak through you. Have faith." Well, the young pastor was in a panic. He hadn't even brought his Bible to annual conference. So he asked the bishop if he could borrow the bishop's Bible, and the bishop consented, and as he was thumbing through the Bible, he found some sermon notes, and with a sigh of relief, he went to a private place, and he prepared, and when the time came for the worship service, the young pastor delivered a powerful sermon. But afterwards, the bishop was angry. He said to this young pastor, "Do you realize you just preached the sermon I was going to preach tonight? What am I going to do?" And the young pastor smiled and he said, "Well, Bishop, I guess you're going to have to trust the Holy Spirit." Just trust the Holy Spirit. It's a funny story, but really, it's true. And if I had a theme, which I do, theme for this message would be that when the Holy Spirit is involved, There's no such thing as impossible. The impossible becomes possible when the Holy Spirit is there. In our scripture, the angel Gabriel announces to the Virgin Mary that she is going to have a baby. She's going to bear a son, and his name will be Jesus. He will be the Son of the Most High. And Mary's first response to the words of the angel are questioning, their perplexity. She knew the facts of life. She knew that a woman does not become pregnant apart from sexual relations with a man. Yes, she was engaged, but she was still a virgin. And her immediate response was, "How can this be? How can this be?" And I hope you picked up on Gabriel's answer in all of that. He said, important for us, as it was for Mary, nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary's response was a response of obedience. She said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." When Martin Luther looks at the miracles in this story, he sees three miracles. First miracle is that God became human. Most would say impossible. Some today would even say impossible. That was the first miracle, that God took on human flesh and became one of us. The second miracle is that a virgin gave birth. Years ago, in one of the churches I served, there was a couple that started coming to our church on a regular basis, and I visited with them, and they said, "Well, there was a young couple in our church that they were good friends of, and they realized they had something in their lives that they didn't have, and they thought it had something to go with going to church, and so they were coming to church to find out. But," he said to me, he said, "I'm a scientist, and one of the things that I cannot believe in is the virgin birth." They came for a while, and then they stopped. And so, first miracle, God became flesh. Second miracle, that a virgin gave birth. And Luther says the third miracle is that Mary believed. She believed the angel. And some might say that that is the most remarkable miracle. Belief is a difficult thing for people sometimes. And difficult for them to come to that place. But the Christmas story, and really the entire Bible, is about miracles. If you were to somehow strip the miracles out of the Bible, it would get really, really thin. A friend of mine, when he was the new pastor at a church, one of his first sermons had to do with the authority of Scripture and the miracles that are in the Bible. And he found an old Bible, and he went in the pulpit, and he was preaching on this, and he read one of the scriptures that talked about a miracle, and he had, I don't know if he had like a razor blade or scissors, and he cut it out, and he threw it on the floor. And he went through his Bible like that for a while. He made his point, but some people in the congregation were really, really upset with him, if you can imagine. But they got the point. Miracles are part of the Bible, and the people that have the most difficulty with the virgin birth usually have difficulty with the resurrection. They usually have difficulty with the healing miracles, and on it goes. If you take all the miracles out of the Bible, if you take all the miracles out of Jesus' life, his life just doesn't make any sense. It's just, there's nothing there. So, to believe in miracles, to believe that the Holy Spirit worked at Christmas time, and let me take it a step further, that the Holy Spirit works even today is an important part of our Christmas and Christian faith. Because of Christmas, we know that the impossible has become possible. Now, I spent some time thinking about my life and all the things that have happened to me that, as a young person, I would have said, not possible. Never, never, never going to happen. Never going to happen. But it did. And I have to believe that that was God working in my life. Now, I challenge you sometime to think about your life, and I think you will come to the same conclusion. Is it possible that God loves me personally, individually? I believe he does. And I think the same is true for you as well. Is it possible that God understands my weakness and my frailty? Is it possible that God knows what it's like when I'm tested and tempted? Is it possible that God knows, when I say no, I mean understands, the pain and suffering sin brings to my life? Is it possible that God cares and is willing to become involved in my life? And that's what Christmas is about. God getting involved in a way he had not before in our lives, and in sharing himself with us and helping us to know his way and his will. Excuse me. Miracles are possible. The child born in Bethlehem said, yes, they're possible. And Mary's response to the angel was to say yes to his will and his way. And when she did that, it changed her life. And when we do that, when we say yes to his will and way, it changes our lives. I came across a story that is an illustration of this, I think. It goes back a number of years, but in the city of London, there was a priest, a Catholic priest. His name was John, and throughout his life, he wanted to minister to the poor people in the city. But all of his assignments never made that possible. But when the opportunity came, that's what John decided to do. He became a street sweeper, and he worked among the very, very poor of the city. By this time, he was older and slower, so at the end of the day, part of his work would be undone, but the other street sweepers would join and help him, so he got his job done. They didn't mind, because John was older and slower. They realized at the same time that he had a special gift that benefited them. He could express himself well. And so when they had problems, when they had issues about working conditions, they would explain them to John, and he would take the concerns to management, and things would get worked out. One day, John came to work, and there was a group of street sweepers waiting to talk with him, as they'd done many times before, but today they were much, much sadder than normal. And John, they said, something terrible has happened. Last night, Joe, who was 40 years old, was found dead in a shack in an alley. They said, we didn't know he was sick. We didn't know he didn't have a place to live. We would have done something if we'd known. We didn't know he'd run out of money. If we'd known, we would have done something. But John, Joe is dead, and it's too late to do anything for him now. But John said, well, maybe it's not too late to do something for Joe. And they said, well, what do you mean he's dead? John said, we could at least give him a decent funeral. And they said, that's a wonderful idea, but we don't have a clue where to begin. It was at that moment that John revealed that he was a priest and that he would help them have a funeral for Joe. So later in the week, a funeral was held for Joe in a Catholic church in London. Street sweepers from all over London came, and there in front of them was John, who'd been a street sweeper, now dressed as a Catholic priest, conducting the funeral mass. When the funeral was over, but people had not yet left, one of the street sweepers sitting near the front stood up, turned around, and he looked at the hundreds of street sweepers that were still in the congregation, and with kind of a dazed and confused look on his face, he said, how many more priests are among us? God was like that priest. He lives among us. We get caught up in living, and sometimes we can't see what God is doing. But like the priest John, God cares deeply for us, and he works to lift us up. I think as believers, true believers, we have to believe in miracles. And the word impossible has no place in our lives. We might say, I'm hedging a little now, we might say, not likely. But you can't say that when the Holy Spirit is around. Changes everything. And the key for us personally is the response of Mary. I am the Lord's servant. May it be so, as you have said. Our willingness to do God's will and live in God's way opens the door for the Spirit to work in us and through us to make God's presence, even today, real in people's lives. One of the songs that I've been converting from the old vinyl record into a media that's used today You might know the song. I can't tell you what it is, but it has at the very beginning it talks about Christmas. And it says, Christmas past is past. Christmas future is yet to come. But Christmas is today. A reminder that Jesus came, he's going to come again, but he's coming even now if we open our hearts. Heavenly Father, help us to believe truly in our hearts that all things are possible with you. And help us to be willing to be your servant, willing to be used by you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand, if able, to sing our last hymn.